Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Welcome aboard, Joe. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, it's Mr. Passive Aggressive here again this morning.
I am so glad to see you. You're
and
wonderful.
It's always a pleasure to see you too as well, Mr. Lawrence.
You have great viewpoints, wonderful opinions, and good common sense conservatism.
Why, thank you. I wish I could say the same about you.
I do not have any conservatism.
But you're a flaming liberal.
I do not have any conservatism. I'm kind of pro-life, I guess. That's a conservative view.
Well, that is, yes. Okay. It is a conservative view. You need to work on that. You can't truly be a flaming liberal believing that.
I do not wish to be a flaming liberal. I am not a flaming liberal.
Oh, well, I'm not a knee-jerk conservative, so I guess we have something in common.
What? A knee-jerk? That's when if I say abortion, boom, your leg goes out and you say no.
No, stop it.
Okay. Common sense spending without a budget deficit.
No.
Boom, no. Absolutely
That's
not.
That's knee-jerk conservatism.
Government must grow at exponential rates. All right. Well, welcome. Is there such thing as a knee-jerk liberal? Or is,
I think conservatives are knee-jerk. Liberals are flaming.
Okay. Flaming. All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. We got that out of the way.
Let's resolve those kind of things early.
I am not a flaming liberal, but I often play one on the radio. And Joe is not a knee-jerk Republican, but...
wasn't somebody say, is Joe a jerk, or does he just play one on the radio? Oh. We had that comment come through a while back.
Yes, he does. Yeah, the answer is yes, absolutely.
He is one, or he plays one.
I'm not saying.
Okay.
All right. So welcome on board, everybody. It's WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Mr. Rob Sanders down the middle. I don't even know where Rob stands politically. Grew up Catholic, so I think that's probably what might influence or inform
Rob
his...
Rob does not talk politics.
Not at all. Okay,
Rob's
good.
A smart
okay.
man.
Okay. So even
but he has to
Facebook?
Sit over there and listen to us do it 5 days a week.
And that's why I need a long break at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I saw him walking one time enjoying a break. He left the building, went downtown, walked downtown.
Beat his head against the wall.
Walked to Lewisburg and back to try to cool off. But, Rob's fabulous producer in every way. Absolutely anything you'd want a producer to do, he does that. So we appreciate that. He does not chime in and inject his opinions. And he screens calls in such a manner that everybody gets through, or everybody that wants to anyway. So that's the kind of, it's not screening like filtering out kind of screening. But he does a super job over there. So we appreciate that, Rob Center, our fabulous producer. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is wide open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can also text us at 70236. We have talked in the past week on and off about President Trump's tweets where he's picked out four congresswomen that seem to irritate him the most. So we may have exhausted that topic. Who knows? But you may want to comment on that. But we've had some other topics come up. Last week, we talked about raising the minimum wage a little bit. On Friday, the conceptual idea of reparations was once again talked about on Friday on this show. So maybe you have an opinion about that. Feel free to call us. From the newsroom, they're reminding us about a road closure. Route 35 still closed at a fire scene in Mount Pleasant Mills. And earlier today, we had a section of Route 522 blocked near Sealands Grove, and that is now open.
We've been talking the past couple days about whether or not the president is racist. There was an interesting story out of a conference last week from a University of Pennsylvania law professor who's under fire for comments she reportedly made at a national conservatism conference last weekend. During a panel on on immigration at the conference, Amy Wax, said that immigrants to the United States are too loud and responsible for an increase in litter. She then advocated...
Too loud?
Too loud.
Like they yell a lot?
Well, I think she means too... in the forefront, too much in the forefront.
Too vocal on important topics.
Well,
or
I don't
topics
know that,
important.
I don't know that that's what she means, but that's you're
okay,
free
so
to interpret it too loud and responsible for an increase in litter. She then advocated an immigration policy that favored people from Western countries over migrants from non-Western ones, saying, quote, that our country will be better off with more whites and fewer non-whites. The comments were originally reported by Vox in an article on the conference. She went on to say conservatives need a realistic approach to immigration that preserves the United States as a Western and first world nation. Vox quoted her as saying that on the panel, we are better off if we are dominated numerically by people from the first world, from the West, than by people who are from less advanced countries. Critics on social media and former Penn alumni were quick to respond, many calling, of course, as predictable, for Wax to be fired. The university offered the following statement to Philly Voice in response. As a member of the faculty, Professor Wax is free to express her opinions as provided in Penn's policies protecting academic freedom and open expression. It's also the case that views of individual faculty members do not represent the views of the institution, but rather their own personal beliefs. And Wax came under controversy in March of last year for suggesting that African-American students rarely graduate at the top of their class. Should she be fired? Is she a racist? Or is she just stating an opinion that she is basing on her view of what she sees in this country?
Well,
and is she a racist?
It sounds like she's protected by a policy that they enacted there, but I certainly wouldn't want her to be used as a representative at the school. I don't think she should be fired just because you're ultra-conservative and racist. Holy smokes, half the country will get fired on the spot.
Well, you know, we've had debates in this program where people have stood up for professors on the left who have said terrible things, too. Now, I don't know how terrible this is. It's probably taken somewhat out of context. I find it difficult to believe that a well-educated woman would have, you know, totally off-the-wall opinions.
Well, particularly because you get such short comments from Vox, they just pick out, you don't get transcriptions of whole remarks.
Right.
You know, she may have been using those as an example of what somebody who has sort of divisive racial views believes.
Well, you know, and there's a story you sent me this morning. I'm trying to find it here. The Miss World America says her tweets are biased against... The Miss World America pageant says her tweets are biased against Muslims and blacks, but the pageant's rep from Michigan says it is the winner who is being discriminated against. Kathy Zhu has been stripped of her crown over tweets saying things like blacks are always blaming others for crime. She has also criticized Muslims in blasts that have since been purged from her Twitter account. She says losing her title is discrimination against her because she's a conservative who belongs to a group called Chinese Americans for Trump. So apparently, you know, everybody always in this program, we had a lot of people call in and say words have meaning and words have consequences and things you say have consequences. But how do we draw the line here between free speech, even if it's speech we don't want to hear? And where is the ACLU in all this? Are they sticking up for these people?
Sure they will. Yeah, as they get terminated. I don't know if the ACLU is going to get involved in a beauty pageant. But,
Dr. Wax?
But on the other hand, Dr. Wax is not in trouble.
Well, there are calls for her resignation.
Well, let them call. Anybody can call. I can call for your resignation, but guess what? Every day you keep coming back.
I call for yours a while back, too.
Well, there, and there we have it. You see what kind of good that does. So, I think if somebody's wrongfully terminated, that's the kind of thing you could ask the ACLU to get involved in. They probably would. They stand up for the Constitution for everybody. You seem to think they only support ultra-liberal people, but individuals who wish to display or wear their religious iconography on their clothing and uniforms are defended by the ACLU. You would appreciate that. Do you think, you know, if you wear a flag lapel pin to work and the boss here says, no flags, please, we think that's a political statement, the ACLU stands up for you.
Do they stand up for the correspondents on television who wore the flag pins when they were told to take them off?
I do not know that, but that is certainly possible. I know the ACLU stops when an individual agrees to a policy. Now, the ACLU may argue or send a letter and say that a policy is bad, but when people go into a workplace, often they sign an oath that they'll support the company's mission and policies.
Right.
So, and I think you kind of
having done that, you've kind of lost some
right.
Of your
you kind of back yourself into a corner if you agree that no matter how ridiculous these policies will be, I support them.
But do you suppose Dr. Wax will suffer any consequences from her opinions? At the university, even though they're saying, well, we have a policy that says she can speak freely, but do you think that she'll wind up being assigned lesser classes or, you know, punished in some way for her unpopular and far from liberal views?
She'll probably be rewarded. At universities today, they reward you for being in the public eye, good, bad, or indifferent with the opinions, and they want you to get published, get noticed. So they, you know, they're, whatever rewards they have, she may end up with those.
Okay.
She'll get a sabbatical so they can get her off the campus.
Campus, right.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We are enjoying open phones. We are talking about ideas of fairness. We have some police officers in the news, too, that were let go when they expressed their true views on Facebook. So we can...
Officers in New York are being doused with water and cursed at.
All right. So that we are aware of that, thanks to one of our good listeners. We got a caller standing by on the topic of his selection. Tom, what's on your mind today?
Well, as I said before, the other day they would raise the debt ceiling. Well, guess what they did?
Yeah, what's the new ceiling?
They raised the debt ceiling.
To what?
Well, I don't know. I guess they're allowed to spend whatever they're allowed to spend.
Right. The new budget, the two-year budget plan that they agreed to would raise the debt to $30 trillion by the end of the 2 years.
$30 trillion, is that what they're allowed to go to now?
No, I don't know that that's the ceiling. That's what commentators were saying the deficit would be if this new budget is enacted. And, of course, there's no interest in paying off the debt.
Well, now how is President Trump going to keep his promise of eliminating the national debt when he's agreeing to a budget that spends $1 trillion more than we have coming in?
Well, obviously, that's going to be a broken promise.
Well, bear in mind, he had Democratic assistance in this, and actually, he didn't have anything much to do with the deal. It was brokered between the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress and the Senate.
Well, he has to sign it.
He can veto it, can he?
Right.
Why would he do that? If there's bipartisan agreement.
He promised that he was going to eliminate the national debt. He ran on that. That's one of the lies that he ran on. So, I mean, if he wants to keep his promise, don't you think he should veto it?
Do you want him to veto it?
I think he should, yes, to keep his promise.
Okay.
But well, he's not keeping his promise if he votes for it. I mean, we're spending $1 trillion more a year than what we have.
I think you would be glad that the Republicans and the Democrats arrived at an agreement on something that doesn't shut down the government.
They don't have to shut down the government. They just cut things till they get $1 trillion less.
They don't seem to do that, though. That would make sense. That's how, if you were running the government.
That's another broken promise, so put that on your...
We have a list of broken promises here. That's true.
And Joe, they keep saying about how this economy is so good, but what's happening right now is, like, if a person owns a brand-new house and they own a brand-new car, but they're paying for it with credit cards. That's what's happening right now.
You obviously didn't hear Gordon Deal this morning because he says that his program says that's not what's happening now.
Well, who's Gordon Deal? He must be a nut job. Because that is what's happening.
What's actually happening.
That is exactly what's happening.
What's exactly actually happening in this country is that the economy is expanding. People are buying homes. People are getting jobs. People are making more money now than they ever did before. And not just the 1%, all groups of people are. And yes, the deficit is rising, but don't you think?
We're not paying, but Joe, we're not putting the money in that we have to pay in to keep the government running.
But you didn't let me finish. My feeling is that if the president's right and the economy does rebound like this, more people will be working, paying taxes, and the government eventually will be able to pay back some of the national debt. I doubt they'll ever pay it all back.
Never worked, Joe. Joe, we've been going backwards since Reagan did this in 19. The national debt went from over $1 trillion for the very first time on October 22nd, 1981. You can look it up.
Oh, I remember the date.
Reagan.
I remember.
It's been going up ever since. It has never been going down. It's been going up. And you guys keep making the same excuses. Well, if this happens and if that there continues to go this way,
didn't Bill Clinton knock it down somewhat during his administration?
I thought he had a balanced budget, but he didn't pay off the debt.
No, I know he didn't pay it off, but didn't he knock it down somewhat?
We had a balanced budget.
Yeah. That's probably the last time we had one, too.
But he kept spending in check,
what
and
is
revenues
right
were
now,
up.
What makes Dan and Lance so happy is these corporations and these businesses, they don't pay any tax. A lot of them don't pay any. Some of them pay very little, so they have lots of profits. So what do? If you have an investment in that company, you're going to get a lot of money back. You're going to make money on it because why? Because they're not paying any tax.
But you'll pay tax on the money you make.
They might as well take that money out of the government and give it to Lance and Dan, because that is exactly what's happening right now.
But Lance and Dan will have to pay more tax. Because now they've got all this money you're giving them.
They're not going to have to pay as much tax as what they're getting back. They're not going to be pay more tax than what they're getting.
No, but if they get a windfall, they'll have to pay taxes on that windfall, and it'll probably drive them to a higher bracket.
It's still not going to be what they're getting. You cannot justify this in any way. It doesn't work, and the national debt proves it doesn't work. No matter what excuses you make and how you twist it, it doesn't work.
Well, you know where the finance bills originate, don't you? They originate in the House, and who controls the House?
Well, they didn't control the House when all this stuff happened.
Well,
now. They didn't control the House when this latest tax cut. That was a 100% tax cut by the Republicans.
No, but Tom, you called in to complain about the debt ceiling increase, and that's now, and that started in the Democratic House.
Well, then they don't really have much of a choice. What do you want them to do?
Well, what do you want the president to do?
Is cut a lot of things.
Well, what do you want the president to do?
Probably what they should do, and if Trump should veto the bill.
Well, I agree that everybody should start cutting stuff, but I don't think that's going to happen either, because they don't like, no politician in Washington likes to cut anything. I mean, they don't get votes by cutting.
Then you can't have trickle-down economics and get more or less money in. If you know you're not going to cut anything, then you can't cut taxes. Then you have to raise them. You can't do it any other way.
I agree with you. I do agree with you on that. I think it's a combination of two. You have to raise the taxes to make a reasonable amount of revenue, and you have to find a way to cut expenses.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate the call.
Tom, that's not going to happen. I think you and I both know that.
Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. We'll take a quick break. We've got a caller standing by, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners very concerned about a budget deal. I guess the negotiations are done or soon will be, that does impose some spending limits for next year, but spending would increase each year by about $50 billion. And what it does is it suspends the debt ceiling, so there'd be no ceiling on debt. And it was, of course, with all this deficit spending, our deficit by the end of next July of 2021, when this deal expires, would be about $30 trillion. That's if
wouldn't have to stop there. It could go higher.
Oh, that's true. It would no longer have a limit.
Let's just borrow our way out of this problem. Why don't we borrow more money to pay off the debt we already incurred?
Well, I think it's like in your home. You can borrow your way into prosperity. If you borrow enough money, you'll have a lot of money.
Yeah, but you have to pay it back at some point.
Oh.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The Phillies are on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Swing and a line shot, base hit to center field. One run is scored. Turning third, heading home. Williams, the throw is cut off. Michael Franco, a two-out, two-run single to extend the Phillies' lead. It is now 7-1.
Phillies baseball on WKOK is sponsored by Gracie's Flowers and Gifts, Glick Associates, Carpet Man, and Murray Motors Chevrolet.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Joe Rutter from the Pittsburgh Tribune on Steelers Camp. Today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, and the Phillies took the day off yesterday, and they are going to be back in action tonight, 6:35 p.m. on WKOK, while our normal programming continues at WKOK.com. Where are the Phillies going tonight? They're on the road.
Does it really matter?
Oh, here we go. I heard it.
They're playing the Tigers.
Oh, the Detroit. That's right. How soon we forget. I hear young Rob keeping me informed all morning long, and what's the first thing I do?
What started off so promising has fallen on hard times.
You mean the Phillies season? Oh, I try being a Cubbies fan. Dale, you're on the mark.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Trump cutting welfare and making government larger. I don't think that's a good solution. You know? I don't think that helps us out. But last night, I think I was watching Fox, and a woman on there said that 50% of Americans can't afford a 400-hour emergency. So I don't know if you think that's a strong economy, because what they're saying is the dollar strength, you know.
Well, you didn't quite hear that whole story.
Foreign countries are too strong, but domestically, you can't buy a penny fish. You have to pay 8 cents today for a penny fish. So I don't know if somebody's calculated or you're just going what Fox.
What kind of fish is this?
What's a penny fish?
Well, they used to be a penny, these gum fish.
You mean candy?
Oh, gummy bears. Okay, or gummy fish.
Yeah, they're 8.5 cents a piece. And so do you think that's a strong economy when 50% of Americans can't afford a 4-hour emergency?
Dale, you didn't hear the whole story. Apparently it's 20% who actually would have a hard time coming up with the money.
She chuckled. She laughed.
The other 20%.
And she said 50% of the people in America cannot afford a 400-hour emergency.
Well, yeah, but that's not the whole story. The other part of that is that the majority of those people have other debt. They have credit card debt and other things,
yeah,
and they're paying the
$400,
and that paying the $400 would be difficult for them. I'm not basing it on the woman on Fox. I'm basing it on a report I heard this morning that touched on that very subject on Gordon Deal's news program this morning.
But we certainly know a lot of people have a lot of debt and a lot of inability to pay expensive bills that pop up.
Right.
Go ahead.
So you think that's the solution, by cutting welfare and making government larger? Because under President Trump, the government more larger than any government in history, and they're spending all this money to secure Washington, D.C. So you think when the markets crash in January that they're making sure that Washington, D.C. is pretty much protected?
Well, I don't think fiscally, I don't think President Trump is behaving like the kind of conservative I would hope he would be.
He's doing what the Democrats want him to do, cut welfare like they've been trying for.
I don't think the Democrats want any welfare cut. I think you got that wrong.
What about Bill Clinton? They always say that they want to, you know, give more social programs, but they just, next thing you know, they want to go right after welfare. That's their number, and then force feed people health insurance. Well, let me tell you something. Whatever happened to Bill of Rights? I mean, does anybody understand and read the Bill of Rights? It's called individual rights, and it was supposed to be a counterbalance for what an aggressive government does. But you know, right now, you can just rip up the Bill of Rights. It doesn't matter. So I just want to tell you, this president here is the most Democratic president we ever had. That's what I was saying.
I think he's a Democrat, huh?
He's all his life's been Democrat. It's just look over here. I mean, people, I believe all these voting machines are all manipulated, too. It's going to be the lowest turnout of all history, but they're going to raise the numbers.
Okay.
I ain't a conspiracy theory, but let me just tell you something. He'll protect the rich and powerful before he protects the poor and the weak. And that's the drill.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Dale. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Topic so far today, the U.S. budget deficit, which will go up to $30 trillion.
There's no limit.
That's the estimate of what it will be. Well, and that's speculation, what it'll be at the end of 2 years. Well, a lot of things have to happen before then, including continuing to increase spending and tax revenues to stay at their current levels. We could reduce spending, you know, the House and the Senate, right. The president would have the option of doing so in the next 2 years.
Well, I mean, Tom talks about health care for everybody, and the estimates are that that would drive the budget up even higher, or drive the deficit up even higher. So if we have two choices here. We either try to fund these things that people determine they want, or we have to cut back a little bit and work on getting the national debt down. But getting the national debt down, if I ran for office and my fellow Americans, as your president, I pledge that I will reduce the national debt, and that's all I'm going to focus on.
That's it. No,
What do you think my chances of getting elected would be?
Zero, because you'd have to reduce the entire budget by 5% and raise
maybe
taxes.
Maybe 10%. You know, but if you're serious about doing it, somebody has to pull their belt tight and say, all right, this is how we're going to get it down. But every year that debt goes up, the amount of money we have to spend that we take in to cover the debt service increases exponentially.
Yeah,
and so we're spending 30 or 40% of our budget just to pay back money we already spent.
Totally wrong.
If we had zero debt, we could spend that money to provide some of the things that people think are necessary.
That's the way I try to live at my house, but my lovely bride says that's not how it works, honey.
Would you finance your life on credit card debt? I hope not.
I would, and I would write blank checks, and I would...
Thank God your wife handles the purse strings.
Take out another mortgage and get a six-year truck loan.
So you would be over your head in no time at all.
I'd be upside down.
Well, then... You obviously need help.
I'm not allowed at the finance computer.
Believe me, I don't blame your wife after that tirade.
But if I behave, she gives me $10 every week.
And I think even that's a stretch.
Okay. And I squander it on 8-cent candies. All right,
I don't know many people who know the price of an individual gummy fish.
8.5 cents. You have to buy two just to get to round up. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury WKOK News Time. It is now 9 a.m. Time for CBS News. Then we'll have local headlines.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out, please, at sunburymotors.com. They would just love to see you down on the car lot on North 4th Street in Sunbury. You can go between Washington and Jefferson and save a few Lincolns while you're down there. And they are very proud to also have a dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. So far, we talked a little bit about the budget deal in Washington that keeps the budget out of the picture until after the presidential election, so President Trump doesn't have to worry about a government shutdown or a budget arguing during the time that he's seeking re-election next year. We also talked about a university that is fully accepting of a ultra-conservative professor's racist views, saying that whites are...
Are they racist? You have determined that? You say they are racist views.
Yeah, we'll stipulate just for the sake of discussion that those views are acceptable on the campus of Penn, and that is because the university has an open policy towards speech, so we can talk about that.
Good for them.
We're going to talk about some professors who police who lost their job because they share conservative views, so we'll be talking about that.
Another police
shortly.
Who got dumped on. Had water and buckets thrown at them.
Well, that's unacceptable. You are welcome throughout our program to text us at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. We send out Text Connect messages, just as we did this morning, indicating that Route 522 was blocked. Route 522 is now open, but Text Connect messages went out with a link to go to WKOK.com if you wanted the very latest, and many people have done that. So that's what the Text Connect system can do, breaking local or national news, dead celebrities, closed roads, tornadic weather, or the kind kinds of things that we send out, you just sign up at WKOK.com and we keep you informed. In the news today, as mentioned, a section of Route 522 that was blocked earlier today is now open. A section of Route 35 that was blocked at a fire scene in Mount Pleasant Mills is still blocked. PennDOT says it'll be blocked for several more hours at that fire scene. There were estimates from some of the volunteers at the scene this morning that they might be able to reopen it in a few hours, but it is still blocked. So 522 is open. Route 35 is blocked at a fire scene. No injuries at that fire scene. Vacant home was destroyed. The Sunbury Police Department continues to grow. Another full-time officer hired last night. He is Trey Kurtz. Comes to Sunbury from the northern part of Pennsylvania, already working in Zerby Township, Northumberland County. Things are going satisfactorily, says the officer in charge, Brad Hare.
We're hoping to hire at least two more. The first Saturday in August, we have a test coming up. The morale's never been higher right now. It's really, the guys are really excited. It's a good time to come to the Sunbury Police Department. Just a lot of things going on with looking at a new building, more officers, so we're all pretty excited.
Salary about $49,000 a year for Officer 2 level at Sunbury PD. Pennsylvania's taxpayers are paying nearly $10 million annually for lawmakers to get their story out through a small army of spokespeople. Lancaster newspapers reported Monday that the vast message machine that often produces news releases, TV shows, and other content with a partisan message, the newspaper says it's calculated the annual cost by reviewing spending records from 2013 through last year. The legislature's equipment includes at least three TV studios built to produce state-run news-like programs that feature the lawmakers. The four caucuses, Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate, have a combined public relations staff of 130 people.
Oh.
The cost is $10 million a year just to send out thousands of newsletters, do the three TV shows, send out news releases, and to help sponsor senior expos. Linda Schlegel-Culver has a senior expo Thursday. We're going to be there. And so those are put on free of charge for individuals so that you can love the legislator is the overall goal of these things. $10 million spent annually.
Does that include the events, or is that just the PR part of it that grinds out?
The $10 million is for the people who assist in making the events happen. The home staff may assist in some of the expos as well.
So that doesn't cover the cost of the three studios? That's the people?
I believe the $10 million is all people. The story is $10 million for lawmakers to get their story out through a small army of people. LNP reported Monday that the vast message machine produces news releases, TV shows, and other content. I believe the $10 million is people. Well, the TV studios themselves, at least compared to $10 million, wouldn't be that much.
What TV shows have you seen featuring local representatives?
I don't think any. I think what they do is they send it out, a link to their good supporters. This would go to supporters. You wouldn't, like Linda Schlegel-Culver, wouldn't send a TV link to Democrats. They would use that as fodder against her for wasting money.
Well, she apparently wouldn't have been alone. Apparently, from what you say, the Democrats do this just as mightily as the Republicans.
Right. Well, yeah, she doesn't do that. I'm just saying, for example, you wouldn't, Joe Scarnetti wouldn't send it to local Democrats. You just send it to your supporters and say, here, see how good I am? Keep sending me. Keep up the good work.
I don't know.
I've never seen the TV shows.
Everybody. Well, yeah, they're not really TV shows if they aren't carried on TV. I wondered if it was something that PCN ran. Or something
no,
like that?
No, I watch a limited amount of PCM, but I've never seen anything like that. They cover events and things and testimony
right.
and that kind
of
stuff.
A lot of political stuff. But
hearings.
I've never seen them carry a puff piece aimed at supporting one particular legislator.
PCN did do a puff piece at the State Mayor's Association one time. I saw that.
Yes, we get a little publicity from time to time.
That's very puffy. All right, $10 million for PR. Well, the governor has a couple of PR people, one of whom sends us a news release every day telling us what the president's public schedule is.
You mean the governor?
Yeah, what did I say?
The president.
Oh, dear. No, he tells us what the governor's up to. Whether the governor has any public schedule or not, they still send us the schedule.
The governor will be indisposed today.
Right. It says the governor's public schedule is as follows. And then you look, it says no. public schedule. All right, we got one caller waiting. We'll take more comers. Oh, we got more callers ringing, but we got one standing by who's been very patient through the news headlines, plus the idle chit-chat that Joe and I do during headlines. So, Mr. Bobby D., you're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. When it comes to setting up a budget, whether it's federal or local or state, of course, I think with the federal government, it looks like they wait till the last minute. They don't do any pre-planning and say, okay, what are we going to do, for next year's budget? In the meantime, they try to pass it before the end of the legislative session, and at this point, then we're stuck with whatever they do at the last minute. I think a good piece of advice would be to start kind of working on it at the beginning of the year to say, okay, this is what this is what we have, this is what we have to work with, and so maybe having a financial advisor look at the budgets that are going to be passed.
Well, that would make sense, but unfortunately, it wouldn't make sense to them in Washington because they wouldn't be able to get their pet projects. They'd have to balance the budget. Spending would be limited. Debt ceiling would be in place, and they'd pay off the debt.
Right, but every personal family or personal business in that has to deal with some type of budget somewhere.
Yes, and some people break their budgets, too, which apparently Congress is all too willing to do.
I like to do a lot of borrowing.
But at the taxpayer's expense.
Well, sure. It's all at the taxpayer's expense.
All right, thank you.
Who do you think funds this big party, Bob?
All right, thank you.
1-800. It's the taxpayers.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Cindy, you are on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I have caught those programs on PCN. Sundays, I think, in particular, come to mind, where they'll have a commentator and they'll have one or two legislators who sit there and answer the questions.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, they regularly do that.
Well, is that their program, Cindy, or is that something that the State House and Senate produce and send to them?
No, it's pretty clear that the House and Senate are doing it because, okay. I mean, they'll call it like the Democratic Caucus Forum or something like that, and they'll put on that kind of program where they'll ask, where the questions are clearly biased in one direction or another, and the people are well prepared to answer them. There's no missteps or pauses or, geez, I don't know, I'll get back to you. It's all pretty well staged.
Okay, Russ, tell us about that wonderful job you did with that senior expo last week. Oh, we had 100 people there.
Well, I think that's, I take umbrage with it. They sent a bunch of legislators to prison because they used tax dollars to get themselves reelected. Well, how isn't this that very thing?
Well, it is that. That's the whole purpose, is to make sure that their positive message, they talk about the franking privilege as though that's really what helps them get reelected. It's not that. It's all the PR, the news releases, the TV shows, the appearances, the senior expos, the farmers' breakfasts that you have, and, every other thing.
The big check moments, right? We've seen
big cardboard check.
That a day did not go by, it seemed like. That he was not standing
I'd
somewhere
like a big
with a
cardboard
great big
check. I'd like one
or
of those.
Bus,
Kevin,
or both.
I'm sorry.
Right. And now, I see them again. As soon as the budget passed, pretty quickly the next week, I think we saw big announcements in the paper, so-and-so given a $2 million grant, so-and-so given a $1 million grant. That's all tax dollars.
Yes. The proper headline would be, one of our local legislators returned from Harrisburg with a tiny sliver of the tax money that they foolishly squandered to give back to us as part of the bread and circuses show that they do locally.
Wow.
Well, and I just want to say that I agree with the earlier caller that said that the federal government needs to make cuts. And I would applaud whatever cuts they needed to make. I would be happy to proffer suggestions. They had a commission that took a look at cutting spending and put forward a very valuable report, Simpson-Bowles Commission, during the Obama administration. Unfortunately, that report went right in his drawer. He took no action on the suggestions that were proffered. We've lost our minds. If I spent half again as much as my husband made every month and put it on the credit card, we would be bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
We could, you know, and Joe is right that we're doing this, and then before we pay any bills as a country, the first bill we have to pay is this massive debt to other people, to other countries, to continue this shenanigans. And to what end? To what end? Like, go put your hand on something. Do you remember? I always laugh because otherwise I would cry. But during the crisis, remember they had that big budget, $700 billion. They budgeted themselves to spend, you know, freely in the country. So the money comes here for highways. So what does Governor Rendell do but mandate these handicapped safe intersections be put in with all highway reports? Well, if you go to the new mall next door to Shamokin Dam, you'll see they have very sophisticated, understand that each one of them was $50,000, pardon me, handicap intersection things with the knobby things for the sidewalk and the long stick to push the button to change the light and all of it. On both sides of the road, there's just one little detail that no one's paying attention to. There's no sidewalk. So this was money spent to do this repeatedly everywhere, and there's no sidewalk to go on. So where is that person to go once they get across that little, you know, 6-foot patch of knobby sidewalk? You are on the highway. You know, it's just, but this is, the government has no problem with this kind of irresponsible spending. And it isn't just that. You know, we need to reduce our footprint across the world. I know Joe disagrees with me. I'm happy to take this conversation to him over and over again. Here we are, a British ship gets taken in the Strait of Hormuz, and what do we do but send hundreds more American service people at risk and put them in Saudi Arabia? Well, first of all, that's England's problem, not mine. If England wants to be militarily aggressive with Iran, that's their business to do that. So we're putting Scud missile interceptors and all that stuff over there, and whose money is that? Ours.
Yep. You know, all right.
Putting our people at risk. More money we're spending to do that. It's ridiculous. We should, you know, if you want to know what don't I agree with President Trump, all of this militaristic stuff he's doing, I wholeheartedly disagree with him about doing all of that.
Noted. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Cindy.
And we'll continue that argument another day, Cindy.
Well, yeah, we don't like military spending. No argument there. So a lot of it's wasted.
I do. I'm sorry. I don't think it's wasted.
Oh, brother. The world's police department is underway. I want it. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Thank you so much for waiting, Lance, throughout the break. You are on the mark. Go right ahead, Lance. You're on now. It's time.
Speak up. Lance, we can't hear you.
Okay, well, we'll let him.
Lance is talking to somebody.
Yeah, he's got another conversation going on.
Obviously
on his landline. Can you sift through the texts while you're there?
Yes, okay. Let's see here. We'll find out. Come on, Tom. The reason the debt continues to climb is the sorry excuses of representatives in Congress refusing to cut spending, and it's been going on for decades.
Or centuries.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, George Washington and the first deficit. It's been downhill ever since.
Then another one. Reagan was promised by the Democrats that they would cut spending, and guess what? They lied and spent more. It's time for both parties to pull their heads out of their posteriors and drastically cut spending. If the flood of illegals coming across the border would be stopped, think of the billions that would be saved yearly. I guess that can't happen since the Democrats would lose their voter base and power, offering all the free stuff to the working man that the working man has to pay for.
All right. There's one on the bottom, I guess.
Right. When was the last time the ACLU stood up for people's Second Amendment rights? I can't recall a case in forever.
Yeah, I don't think they do stand up for individuals on Second Amendment. That's certainly a deficit. I think Lawrence's worthless view is that I think that's a
policy deficit on their part.
Well, yeah, I think they stand up for if somebody tries to, like they got involved in Washington, D.C.'s gun law where they wanted to ban all guns at all whatsoever. So the ACLU got involved in that on a big policy basis, you know, in terms of that law. But that's it. Like if I get busted for having a gun and I'm in the right, the ACLU would not defend me. They don't defend individuals. They just get involved in these sort of these mega things that relate to guns. So, I don't know.
Well, they defend other individuals on liberal causes.
Oh, on other purposes. Oh, yes, definitely. Absolutely. For other rights. If I, you know, if somebody says, Mark, you're not allowed to express your opinion on the street corner anymore, you can count on the ACLU getting involved in that.
Even if it's a conservative opinion?
Even if it's conservative.
Even
everybody.
If it's hate speech?
Everybody
as you define
gun owners.
Hate speech?
I don't know. I think gun owners, they just kind of think they're...
Second-class
like
citizens.
Like an accessory to you at a citizenry.
Well, let's All right. see if Lance is done with his other call.
Lance, you got your appointment scheduled. You're good to go?
Okay.
When is the mulch delivery?
Well, yeah, everything's okay.
Good.
Why? Anyway, with regard to, you know, who pays the taxes, now, this is almost laughable. The individual who said now, well, they don't pay the tax, so they give it to their shareholders. Well, what do the shareholders do with that? Don't the shareholders pay tax then? So what would be the difference?
That was my point. That's what I said to her. You may get more money. The guy wants to give you more money, specifically mentioned you by name. You got all this money. You got to pay the tax bill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. Oh, I didn't know you were discussing that. There was a fella here to do something, and I wasn't at the phone.
It's quite all right. So, okay, we could tell you were conducting business.
Yeah. Well, now, too, it was an interesting article in the Journal of the Weekend about Guatemala, and they are the people that are sending the most immigrants here, and how it cost them $8,600 for an adult to be coyoted, you know, across the border, guaranteed. I mean, for that amount of money, they don't have to walk. They go deluxe accommodations the whole way through, guaranteed to get you to right in front of a border guy, a whole bit. And it's about, I think, $1,800 for a kid. And then they'll rent you a kid, which is pretty neat. If you don't already have one, that way your chances of getting, you know, getting asylum are pretty good.
What's the rate for a child rental?
Yeah, well, rate for child rental? I wasn't sure. It didn't say how much that was. Mm. That varied depending on how old the kid was, et cetera. Now, an interesting thing here is the fact that paper and...
Oh, dear. Well, okay, well, I'll tell you what. You deal with that.
Try to keep people involved in the program and conducting their own business
right.
later on.
We'll let him go ahead and get that business out of the way. We will take another quickie break to stay right on schedule. We have an email that has the word impeachment on it with Mr. Mueller, and that's likely to be one of our topics this morning as well. So we got to 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the U.S. budget deficit, bad spending, universities that do let professors say whatever they darn well please into an open mic. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our completely open line. If you do not have any tree trimmers in your living room, you feel free to call us and discuss important topics of the day. 1-800-795-9565.
Maybe you're getting your gutters clean.
Please. Ask that individual to give you 5 minutes to talk to us, and you should be good to go. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at On the Mark at WKOK.com. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, and they are a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Do as I've done. Go to sunburymotors.com. Pick out a Ford Ranger. You could pick out a Ford Focus or a Taurus or a Lincoln Navigator, a Hyundai Sonata or a Kia Sorento or whatever vehicle is perfect in you or you. I'm going to get Joe a Lincoln Navigator SUV.
Yeah.
He's going to like
you. You going to buy it for me?
Yes, I will. A nice sunroof and a trailer hitch in case you want to trailer hitch anything. And it'll have two backup cameras and it'll have automatic collision avoidance device.
Would that be my company car?
It could be. Okay. Yes, you can use it for that. It's also going to have a lane holder. And my lovely bride's vehicle has this. As you go down the highway, you can take your vehicle, your hand off the wheel, and it just stays right in the lane, just like you're supposed to. It has adaptive cruise you just set it to stay five car lengths from the guy in front of you, and it does that. No matter how fast or how slow he goes, you stay right on him. I think it doesn't go like more than 10 miles over the speed limit, but it knows what the speed limit is, so it kind of helps you there. It tells you in advance. Have you heard enough?
Yes, I don't have that in my current car. If I exceed the speed limit, a little thing goes red.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a little
warning me, but it doesn't keep me. I could use these features you're talking about.
Is that where the fingernail marks came from on your right arm there? Because
I get squeezed by my
right,
arms.
Exactly.
Slow down.
Okay. So that's the Sunbury Motor Company, and that's some of the accoutrements of the Lincoln, but they got a lot of good stuff too, and the Kias, the Fords, the Hyundais. They got a wide range of pre-owned vehicles and brand new vehicles, and if it's inconceivable, but if they don't have what you're looking for, you could order up from one of the car companies, either using the Sunbury Motor Company website or just go to the Sunbury Motor Company and they'll walk you through the process. They could order the vehicle you want. So please, shop at the Sunbury Motor Company. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We see one line ringing, so we've got a caller coming in. We got two emails pending. Are these the same email?
No, they're the same person, but you were going to read the president's tweet because one of them refers to the president's tweet this morning.
So let's, first of all, it comes in the form of three tweets from President Trump this morning, a couple of hours ago. The first one says, the newest poll, only 11% in favor of starting ridiculous impeachment hearings. Well, let's see. We have the best economy in history, the best employment numbers in history, the most people working in history, the highest stock market in history, the biggest tax regulation cuts in history, the best and newest military, almost totally rebuilt from the depleted military I took over in history, best VA in history, speaking of choice, and much, much, much more. Gee, let's impeach the president. The squad, AOC plus three, and other Dems suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. Crazy! Exclamation point. And then he goes on to say, I completely read the entire Mueller report, and do you know what I concluded after reading volume one and two? There is no there, there. No there, there! Exclamation point. We completely wasted everybody's time and taxpayers' money.
And one of our writers says, Bob says, good morning. This morning, Trump tweeted about being impeached after Robert Mueller testifies tomorrow. Sounds to me he is feeling guilty of obstruction. Tomorrow at 8:30 a.m., get your popcorn and watch the Robert Mueller movie. I don't think the president's tweet had anything to do with what he asserts.
No, he's just saying that impeachment won't work.
And then another email on a different topic. Good morning. Democrats are bringing much-needed change to America. We are trying for $15 minimum wage. I will bet the right wing will not pass this bill. The Democrats are running on what Ronald Reagan said in his farewell speech. Well, Bob, let's face it. If you put up that minimum wage, you're going to lose a lot of people their jobs. And yet the marketplace is actually raising the cost of raising labor rates across the country, which is the way it should work.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling back again.
Okay. But they're about the minimum wage. That's almost laughable. Did you see what happened to Bernie Sanders? He wasn't paying $15. He was paying $13. And now he has had to cut the hours of the folks that are left.
Because he couldn't afford it. He had to make budget cuts, you mean, in his staff. Presidential staff. Okay.
Gee, I wonder why he didn't just spend somebody else's money. That's what he wants to do with all our tax dollars.
Okay. Well, also, an interesting thing is, if you're living in Guatemala, you're safer from crime than you are if you're living in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And that's a fact. Down in Harrisburg, we're about 24 per 100,000, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, down there, it's less than 20. They had a problem solved 10 years ago, but pretty much everybody's moved out. The crime folks have gone somewhere else.
Well, maybe all the illegal immigrants in Harrisburg should head to Guatemala for asylum.
Yeah, I think so. So under that, well, shouldn't the people in Harrisburg then be able to go to Canada for asylum?
I would think.
You would think so. Yeah, oh, yeah. But that was really, really some article. I mean, it went on for two big pages and gave all the stuff that was going on down there. Well, the radio stations have spots where they're talking about all the good stuff that's in up in the USA, if you only can get there. And then they have leaflets that they talk about, what exactly to say when you got to the border. I mean, it's not, somebody picking it out of the air. This is for real stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for calling back. Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. We got a text asking the question we asked on the air.
It says, ask Bernie how that pesky minimum wage is working in his campaign. Good question.
All right.
Bernie apparently doesn't have the bucks to cover, huh?
So he's laying off staff. Well, you can't hire more people than you can afford to take on.
But that's not the way he would run the government. He would take on huge amounts of additional debt to provide Medicare for all and all the other things, free education that he wants to provide.
We'd have more debt or he wouldn't balance the budget.
Let's face it, if the guy can't even manage to pay his own people $15 an hour, he has to lay them off. You want to trust him with the economy
so
of the country?
So you would rather he overspent and spent to the point
that would
of
be
deficit?
True to his, that would be true to his character.
Mm, would it?
What okay. He believes, yeah.
You don't know anything about what he believes.
I do indeed know
I
what
do
he
not.
Believes.
You do not.
The man is a socialist. He admits
okay.
that.
All right, we have 1-800-795-9565. Robert Mueller is going to testify. Do we have anything in front of us?
Yes, we do. I mean, tomorrow it's going to be a big day, as one of our listeners put out. I think what's interesting is the Department of Justice sent a letter to Mueller telling him that any testimony must remain in the boundaries of your public report. I think that goes without saying. I mean, he should not be required to testify to things that weren't included in the report.
So just
the Democrats didn't want that a few years ago when it was one of theirs, and I don't think we should have it now. I don't think it's fair to ask the man to comment about people who weren't indicted, who were not subject to his investigation, or who were found not to have done anything wrong or, you know, something they couldn't even begin to prove. Should they be exposed to that kind of public ridicule? And I'm waiting for an answer.
No.
Okay.
Of course not.
The story says
he should tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
This is from CNN, so don't accuse me of bringing it in from Fox. The Justice Department wrote a letter to Robert Mueller on Monday about his upcoming congressional hearing, telling the former special counsel his testimony must adhere to the 448-page report he issued earlier this year. The testimony, the letter stated, must remain within the boundaries of your public report because matters within the scope of your investigation were covered by executive privilege. The letter, sent in response to Mueller's request for guidance about his testimony, is signed by Associate Deputy Attorney General Bradley Weinsheimer. Mueller is scheduled to testify before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees tomorrow, starting at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The former special counsel has been a reluctant witness and is appearing because of subpoenas. Democrats plan to push Mueller on several aspects of his investigation, as well as the question if he would recommend charges against President Donald Trump were he not the president. Now, is that a fair question?
Well, you can ask it.
I don't think he should answer it.
It's a hypothetical. Generally, people under these circumstances
don't
avoid hypothetical questions.
Well, I agree with him. I wouldn't answer it either.
If you were a leprechaun under a bridge, would you charge people $500 to cross the bridge?
I think Mueller's got a difficult thing tomorrow because the Democrats are going to be trying to get him to open up more than he wants to, and the Republicans mm-hmm. are going to try to prove that he was biased from the beginning. I don't think this is going to. I saw a couple of talking heads this morning bouncing back and forth. CNN, I thought, actually gave a fairly balanced report on this morning. But they're saying that, you know, the Democrats are likely to be terribly disappointed out of this, and so are the Republicans. If Mueller does what he's done in the past, I understand they're actually preparing for this time, watching hours and hours of Mueller's testimony in the past, trying to determine how he might answer questions. And I think the big thing will be whether or not the congressman can manage to actually ask him questions instead of doing what they always do, taking their 5 minutes to bloviate about what they think and how they feel and having another Spartacus moment here and there.
And they have 5 minutes.
That's typically the way that goes. You have 5 minutes to question, then it goes on to the next one. You know, I think this is just likely to be, what did you call it yesterday, a horse and pony show or a dog at paper and horse?
Oh, this was from Rick Schock. He used to call Vinnie Clausi's bread and circus.
Bread and circus.
Like, I guess the Romans would have a circus and
give everybody
and bring
bread,
right. So.
Well, that sounds to me like what this is going to be tomorrow. I don't think anybody's going to come out of this terribly satisfied unless Mueller, you know, trips all over himself and decides to start answering questions he shouldn't answer.
And reveals, well, certainly I would indict the president if he weren't the president, but he is the president, so therefore we can't indict him, but he's definitely guilty, you know, if he says something like that.
Well, I think he made the right point. If Congress wants to investigate, that's certainly their prerogative. If they determine that charges should be brought against the president, they have the one mechanism that will work, impeachment. And they tried to adopt an impeachment resolution the other day, or one was presented, and the Democrats shot it down.
Well, and I think the testimony is scheduled to start at 8:30, so that could displace. Our goal would be to broadcast at least some of that tomorrow, so you and I might be in trouble tomorrow.
Well, we've been in trouble before. But bottom line here is I don't think that the Mueller report left anything in doubt with respect to the basic premise of collusion. Now, whether or not President Trump tried to obstruct justice, that's a matter for Congress to decide. I don't think Bob Mueller...
And they have enough evidence, in your view, without further inquisition?
If you believe Jerry Nadler, they have massive amounts of evidence. And this isn't the first time Nadler said they had massive amounts of evidence. They had massive amounts of evidence about collusion. That didn't work out for them either. So if he did try to obstruct justice, and they feel it rises to the level of
impeachment... Well, it's obvious he did, but is it criminal?
Well, for example, did Bill Clinton obstruct justice by lying about whether or not he had sex with Monica Lewinsky under oath question?
Yes.
Was that an obstruction of justice?
Yes.
Was he impeached? Yes, he was impeached. Was he convicted? No, he was not. So what did we do? We went through that whole circus with Bill Clinton, and nothing concrete came out of it. Are we going to do the same thing? Have we learned nothing with respect to President Trump?
All right, let's ask Chris. He knows for sure. Chris, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling
in. Well, I do know that Joe is wrong about collusion.
They found no collusion.
They never defined collusion nor looked at it.
Oh, come now, Chris. It's right there in the report. Read it.
Yes. He says, we never looked for collusion.
That was the whole point of the investigation. Chris, that was the whole point of the investigation. If they didn't look for that, it was a total waste of taxpayer money.
First of all, it wasn't a waste of much taxpayer money because they probably got more from finding things that people in the Trump administration did wrong that they had to pay money for.
So they had $25 million in fines come out of this?
Yes.
Who got the most of them? Who got the most? Give me numbers.
What's his name who's in jail now?
Well, that doesn't mean he paid his fine.
Means he owes it, and he had money, and he has a few mansions and stuff. So,
have they been confiscated? Have they been forfeited? Have they been forfeited? But the whole purpose of the investigation was to determine if there was collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians in the 2016 election.
Collusion isn't a legal term.
Well, there's other crimes.
That's where you're messing up.
Well, there are crimes that relate to collusion, but you can't look up in the law book and says
not collusion.
Right. So, but there are crimes. Right. That's one of them.
And the only thing that gets Trump out of various things was that he's president and can't be indicted, although why that's laws goes back to a Nixon decision that was, well, Nixon, the Justice Department decision when they were after Agnew, and they wanted to convince Nixon to get rid of Agnew, so they threw that in as a little tidbit for him. So it has no real basis in law. It's just the Justice Department view of things. And it certainly makes the president above the law. And he also, the other thing he got out of, apparently with the stuff that Cohen got convicted of, is they couldn't prove that he knew the law. They couldn't prove that Trump knew the law. He broke the law. They proved that. But they didn't know, they couldn't prove that he was aware of the law. Of course, he did try to cover it up. So he certainly became aware of it sometime, or maybe he wouldn't have tried to cover it up, I suppose.
Well, I think as far as the word collusion goes, it's not a specific chargeable crime. But if two people collude to violate the law, that is a crime. And that's what the Mueller investigation looked at. You're just quibbling over semantics.
They looked at Russian influence in the election.
Right.
And they looked at what the Trump campaign did. And they certainly had meetings about the subject with the Russians. They apparently gave inside information on their polling to the Russians who were in charge of the group interfering with our election.
Well, then you would have to admit that they found no criminal activity as the result of this supposed collusion. They didn't charge anybody. They didn't indict anybody for that. There were no indictments relating to that specific thing that they investigated.
Yes, and they also also said they were prevented from finding things because of the obstruction of the president and because of the fact that the people who he was dealing with were Russians that they do not have legal access to.
And yet the president fully cooperated with the investigation. All of his people were allowed.
Not.
Yes, he did. All the people were allowed to testify. He didn't stop anybody.
He didn't
claim executive privilege. He didn't have to.
I didn't say he had to, but he didn't cooperate with them.
He made everybody available that they wanted to talk to, and he didn't put any limits on them.
He did do that.
He didn't put any limits on them.
But we're never finding out what they said.
Well, that's because it wasn't in the Mueller report. If Mueller found something substantive there, he would have put it in his report.
No, he was prohibited from doing
no,
that.
No, he wasn't. He could have put anything in there. He could have put anything in there he wanted to.
Jury information.
And is that right or wrong?
That's legal, but it can also be waived in cases, and it was in Clinton's case, the Democrats objected, but they capitulated, and they didn't follow that rule. The Republicans did not capitulate because it's in charge of Barr's cover-up. Barr's in charge, and he's covering up.
Well, you certainly do know the Democratic line.
No, I know the truth. You know that Barr's covering up.
No, I don't.
Look at the letter from the Justice Department that they sent to Mueller the day before his testimony now, or 2 days before his testimony. Precisely what are they afraid of? They're afraid they don't want anybody to say that he would have been indicted if he wasn't the president.
And what did Bob Mueller say about his testimony? He said his testimony would be limited to his report, to matters
yes,
in his report, and all the Department of Justice is doing is reminding him
yes,
of that
and
commitment.
His report was limited by other things that no other such type of investigation, a special Clinton, from Watergate to Clinton, to Iran-Contra, none of them were subject to the same rules.
But Mueller didn't complain.
Mueller's not a complainer. He's a rule follower.
So the investigation was flawed from the beginning, in your view, then?
You just said
it was a good investment in our money. Now you're saying it wasn't.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about?
You said earlier that we made more money in fines on Mueller's investigation than we spent on the investigation.
Yes, I did.
Now you're saying it was flawed.
Well, it was certainly flawed because they rushed through the end.
And it is
they
2 years?
They could have done some things that they didn't do.
2 years? It was rushed? I'd say it was excruciatingly slow.
Well, it was stalled on for a year and a half.
All right, we're going to have to take a quick break. Chris, go ahead and wrap up your testimony.
Trump played that, I'm going to testify, I'm going to testify, I'm going to answer written questions. No, he would not answer written questions about obstruction, and he would not testify, which was pretty clearly what he was going to do from the beginning. But he played them along and stretched it out and delayed people getting, delayed hearings and everything about it.
All right, we got you.
He slowed it down as much as possible.
No, he did not.
Thank you so much,
yes,
Chris.
He did.
All right,
enough.
Both of you. Both of you, stop it right now. All right, thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call. We'll take more response from anybody who wishes to weigh in. 1-800-795-9565. The hearing is scheduled for 8:30 tomorrow morning, and that would displace the On the Mark WKOK live telephone talk show. But it'll give us something to talk about on Thursday. So, two separate hearings. One starts at 8:30 a.m. That'll take several hours. One starts over the noon hour. That'll take several hours. And Mr. Mueller's testimony will be broadcast live on WKOK. WKOK News Time, it is now 9:54. Joe McGranahan and I are waiting for your call. We'll take a couple of more callers or emailers. We have one email, and we'll read that in the radio shortly. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236 or call us now, 1-800-795-9565. All right, one of our listeners sent us an email first.
Says, hello, Donald Trump Jr. is where the Russian collusion comes in. He was not investigated by Mueller because it is not in the report. The truth will come out. Trump told everyone not to talk.
One of our listeners asked us to read the articles we promised about police.
Yeah, we didn't get to this, but it's stunning videos of out of New York City's police. You keep moving the screen around. It's hard for me to read it. Stunning videos posted online Monday show uniformed New York Police Department officers getting drenched with buckets of water by brazen young men in Harlem and Brooklyn, law enforcement sources told the Post. One clip even shows a soaked cop getting beamed in the back of the head with an empty red plastic bucket while the cop and his partner were handcuffing a suspect.